Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 64 of Season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again today on this lovely Thursday in the beginning of November is the father-daughter team of Joe and Kathy Tura, Joe being the famous Polish actor from 1939 and 1942's To Be or Not to Be. So welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
I'm still reeling after 24 hours about the fact that you have a Jack Benny character named after you. So, you know,
it's just, yeah, crazy coincidence in life, but it's very funny. And I'm in Leonard Maltin's TV movie guide, the famous movie Bible. He mentions that he plays Joseph Tura, so I'm immortalized in that too.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. I hope you use that on your CV. Yeah.
You know what? I think I might have to add that. I might have better luck getting a job.
Well, good luck with that. hopefully whoever's looking at it won't do the math.
Right.
Oh, so you were an actor in 1942.
Yeah.
And how old
might be a little old. Yeah, it might be a little old for this job. Yeah.
Can you make it across? Can you make it across the stage still?
That's all that working out of Tiger Schulman's. I can still move.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So minute 64 begins with the second cop trying to explain the situation and ends with Blue looking at Brown.
Mm.
So we ended things yesterday with Tweedledum and Tweedledee, walking down the tunnel with a torch. The truth is, it might have been better for them had they actually had a real torch as opposed to a flashlight. I don't know. But then again, a flashlight's easier to turn off if you need to. So I don't know.
True.
Torch might take a while.
Easier to turn back on.
Yeah. The torch is going to take a little while to douse out if you don't want people to know where you are. Okay. So. We ended things yesterday with the two of them walking down the tunnel and being a little concerned about the fact that they think they're not alone there. You know, they. Wait, who is that? Was it Debbie Gibson who sang "I Think We're Alone Now"? No.
Tiffany.
Right.
Oh, my mom and I love that song.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I loved it in the 80s. Let's put it that way. So
my wife still loves Tiffany, so yes.
Okay.
The songs at least, yeah.
Right, exactly. That makes sense. So basically we ended things yesterday with the number one basically saying, I don't feel that we're here by ourselves, and the other one says, "What do you mean?" And then in the beginning of this minute, so now he's explaining what he means. He says, "Well, we got four submachine guns in front of us and all those jokers behind us. I feel like I'm walking into a fucking OK Corral." So, I mean, we know, having watched the movie, that, you know, there are a whole bunch of cops that are that are slurking around, within this tunnel and stuff like that. Not just Patrolman James. Who got a front row seat watching what happened to Kaz a few months ago. But what really is interesting is that, you know, as these guys are walking down, you know, we do see a whole bunch of cops that are like slightly hidden or not really, exposing themselves a little bit and then hiding, you know, again, for our benefit, because the guys on the train have no clue that there's anyone out there. They probably assume that there is, but they can't see any of them. You know, they do a nice job of concealing themselves.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it, you know, peeking in and out, but yeah, it's taking advantage of the dark.
Yeah. Exactly. So basically, Tweedledum mentions the fact that they're, you know, that he feels they're walking into the OK Corral. So do either of you know what the, and anything about the OK Corral?
Yeah, the famous showdown between the Earps and the, oh gosh, why can't I think of the name of the bad guys? It was Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday. Yeah, a couple of great movies. Burt Lancaster, Kirk Douglas, Henry Fonda, My Darling Clementine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the name of the villains were, they were a group known as the Cowboys, and they were led by Ike Clanton.
Clanton. Oh, Clanton. Yes, thank Clanton. You.
Yeah.
Clanton. Sorry. Clanton. Yes.
Not Clinton. Clanton. Right. So
that's a different area.
That's a completely different group of outlaws.
Yes.
From a different part of the country. basically it was a shootout that happened in Tombstone, Arizona, where there was a gunfight in 1881, which was a shootout that lasted about 30 seconds between Wyatt Virgil and Morgan Earp. With Doc Holliday with them against a group of outlaws known as the Cowboys that were led by Ike Clanton, his brother Billy, and the two brothers Frank and Tom McLaurie. The truth is it didn't take place inside the OK Corral itself. It took place outside, which was about six doors over from where the OK Corral itself is. So, you know, I guess it was the closest landmark for them to use. And
makes sense.
And
sense.
It's now a historical complex, and they have reenactments there all the time for people to come to watch what was going on.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. I feel like I've heard that, like, they do that a lot of. Yeah, that'd be really cool to see, actually.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And so basically, Billy Clanton and the McClory brothers were killed. And Virgil, Morgan, and Doc Holliday were all wounded. And Wyatt Earp himself was the only one who made it away unharmed. Ike Clanton and another one of his men in the group, Billy Claiborne, ran away from the fight and didn't get injured. And apparently Ike Clanton also was unarmed at the time, so he ran away.
Oh.
That was probably smart.
Yes. And anyone who's seen any of the movies, the fight between them did not end at this shootout at the BOK Corral. It went on for months. And they ended up killing one of the Earp brothers, and another one got injured severely and stuff like that. And it only became, the whole story only became famous about 50 years after it happened, when there was a book that was published called Wyatt Earp Frontier Marshal. And that's when people really started getting the idea of what really happened. Obviously, the movies that they made about this event helped make it more iconic. You have the 1957 version, Gunfight at the OK Corral. You know, as you mentioned, My Darling Clementine from 1940. I'm thinking it was 47, maybe it was 45. I can't remember offhand right now. Maybe it was even 45. I don't know. Any clue offhand? 46.
I would just 40, somewhere 40, around there. 46? Yeah. Okay. Oh, right in the middle. 46. Perfect.
I was close. I bookended it. Yeah. So, but again, it's just very interesting that's what this character is going to think. You know, that he's in the middle of a possible shootout, thinking that not taking into consideration that they're there to give the money, to pay the ransom. Because usually when you pay the ransom, you don't have to have a shootout. Usually.
You would hope not,
Exactly.
yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what's gonna happen with that. And then we get a shot of Patrolman James, who's looking on from the side. And I love what he does. He uses his finger and pretends to shoot with his finger.
Yes.
And he just goes
Yeah.
pow, like pretending to shoot, and then like he blows the smoke off of his finger after the first shot, which is also great. And then they do something really, really interesting here. He's about to shoot again, and as he's about to shoot again with his finger, a real shot goes out.
Yeah, no, that was so
And
cool the way they did that.
I like that. That was
That's right,
really
because he's
cool.
taken completely by surprise, and he goes, if this was a comedy, he'd look at his finger to try and figure out how the hell he just did that. It's and then at that point we see a whole bunch of the cops actually show up, to take away from where they were currently in hiding and stuff like that. And we see immediately that Brown got hit, and we see then that the passengers all start screaming, and we see movement in the tunnel. We see Brown get up and smash the window and just start shooting in every direction, making a hell of a lot of noise. We see that
Oh, yeah.
the two cops that are on the track themselves, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, both basically try to get as much cover as possible with what's going on. And at the same time, all the passengers, or most of the passengers, dive to the floor also, which is very interesting and very smartly.
Smartly.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Yeah. That's that New York mentality,
Yeah, it's that New York instinct.
Exactly,
Quick on
yes.
our feet. We gotta be.
And Brown just starts shooting all over the place. We even see that the poster of the crying Indian gets a shot in his face.
Yes. I wrote that down. Iron Eyes Cody takes a bullet
That's
right in the
he
chin.
takes one in the chin and he takes one in the cheek.
Oh, I missed the cheek
Yeah.
one. I just
Well, no,
saw the
because the
chin.
chin you
Oh.
see beforehand, and then the one on the cheek appears at around second 42.
Oh.
And at this point,
Okay.
we see
All
that
right.
Gray is
See?
basically thinking to himself, "Hey, I want to end on this action." That's right.
Yes.
So he,
See, of
that's
course.
right.
Finally.
And he's
Of
like, "All right,
course he
someone's finally
does.
shooting. I'm gonna be, trying to do this." And Brown just keeps shooting and shooting and shooting. We hear glass being shattered and stuff like that. I mean, this is probably at this point the most action that's going on here, because and then Brown
Yeah.
gets to one of the windows and just lets out a barrage also from his gun, but he's like shooting downwards, which is very strange also. Not necessarily shooting at anyone in particular, maybe hoping that there's someone very close. But
Yeah, I got that too, 'cause you figure the train, it's elevated, not super elevated, but he's up. So I guess it makes sense to shoot down at the tracks. 'Cause he doesn't know where the bullet came from.
No, nobody does, and nobody will ever know.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah. Ha.
unless he was thinking like the cops took cover, like the Tweedledee and Tweedledum did. They threw themselves on the floor. Unless he thought maybe like they were throwing themselves on
Right.
the floor.
Could be. I get the
Possibly.
impression
Get
that
one of them.
what he's thinking to himself is that maybe someone is getting close by, and so I need to deal with that.
Yeah.
I think that's
Yeah.
that's what he's trying to do here. But again, he finally gets to shoot again. It's been a little while since he's shot. So why not? Let's give him another shot.
Yes.
Give him another try. And we see that Blue gets closer and looks over at Brown to see what's going on. Blue does have his gun out. No, not happy at
not very
all.
happy. No.
I think he sort of feels that his trust has been broken. I think that's part of it also here. You know, and he's very curious as to what's going on, because you know it doesn't make any sense why there would be any shooting at this point, because they're bringing in the money, you know.
Yeah, they've cooperated the whole time, so yeah. So
we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Maybe tomorrow we'll see something with what's going to go on there. Who knows? And that's the way this minute ends. So a very effective and efficient minute.
Yes.
Do either of you have anything else you want to add about this minute?
The only thing I noticed was when you kind of see a long shot. You can't really tell that Brown is looking out the window, but you see his head. Is that like a prediction of his future role in Home Improvement, where he's looking over the fence, maybe? Earl Lehman? I mean, yeah. Or Hyman. Oh my gosh. See, that's why when I don't write stuff down, that's what happens. I mispronounce.
Yeah, but we don't see his eyes. We see him from behind like that.
Yeah, you see there's the long shot of the car when the patrolman's looking at him. You kind of see a long shot and you see like a face in the window. So that's it made me think of that right away.
And it makes sense.
It's quick, but yeah.
It makes sense. Maybe they use that for casting. They're like, who can we cast in this role? And they're, wait a second, there's that actor from The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 where there's that 1 second
could be,
shot.
Yes.
Where you can see just his eyes and like, hey, that's the guy we want.
Well, Tim Allen could have been a fan. I mean, you know, if he was smart. Yeah. Yes. So poor guy was typecast as man looking out, went over, you know, obscured face guy. That's me.
I hope and I assume that he got duly compensated for it. You know, I have
me too.
All right. Excellent. So every Thursday we have a segment called 70 Movies Trivia Potpourri. So
Ooh,
we're
boy.
Gonna once again randomly spin the wheel and see what trivia questions we're going to get for the Turas.
All right. Cassie, we got to nail this.
All right, we got
the
wheel it.
And we'll see what happens with these five questions that we're going to do. Okay. So the wheel spins around and it stops at the first location. Okay, the 1978 movie Midnight Express is based on the real life story of Billy Hayes. Ooh. Who is a college student who served time and later escaped from a prison in what country?
Cassie, you know this? I know it.
I do not.
Oh, it's Turkey.
Oh,
excellent.
Cool.
Very good.
Yeah, saw that in the theaters. Probably should not have, but, you know, my dad took me, yes. I was how old?
So familiar with that type of with that type of thing. There's so many movies I saw that when I look back now, I'm like, I can't believe I saw them.
Yeah.
And I can't believe my parents either took me to it or let me go see it.
But
I would not let my kids at that age see it. But you
know, no. But I'm so glad I did though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like I can't believe I saw The Breakfast Club at the age of 9. It just makes no sense.
I feel like I saw The Breakfast Club around that age.
You probably did.
Yeah.
Peter.
I saw The Omen when I was 9, and yeah.
Okay. All right. So your next question. Okay. In what 1970 movie did the main cast have so many unknown actors in it that 13 out of the 25 actors credited on screen had the word introducing before their names?
This isn't like, oh my god, I'm gonna sound so stupid for even saying this. No, dad, that's no, never mind. It can't be this movie. Never mind.
1970, you said, Rob?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a musical?
No.
Okay.
It's a dramatic comedy.
Wow.
13 of the 25
Wow.
cast members listed in the opening credits have the word introducing before their name.
Wow, this is a great
Wow.
question.
I know you've seen this.
Probably.
No, there's no probably here.
Oh, wow.
Nineteen seventy dramatic comedy. I want to say MASH, but I don't think that's right. Catch 22 was before that.
Catch 22 was also 1970,
Was it?
but
Oh, okay.
it is not Catch 22.
Okay.
Dramatic comedy 1970.
But I'm thinking you should be going with your gut here, Joe.
I should be, but I'm drawing such a blank. Why again? Too much pressure. Too much pressure.
Go with your gut. Go with your gut.
I know you're throwing me a hint, and I just can't think. Oh, is this?
With your gut.
Because you've said the answer already.
Oh, Dad, you said the answer.
What? I did?
But you're being unsure of
What
yourself.
did you say before you said catch 22?
MASH? No, but it's not MASH, I don't think.
Oh.
I don't know. Is it MASH? I'm going to say MASH. Okay.
And Joe, it's
All
MASH.
right. Whew.
Like I said, you gotta go with your
Yeah,
with your gut
I
there. Don't
know. I know.
automatically take something out of
You
that.
threw me
All
off
right.
because I thought it was a line from the film. I'm like, oh my God, what movie has Go With Your Gut? And then I started overthinking, yes.
No.
See, Dad, I helped
All
you.
right.
I helped you get confidence to answer that one.
Yes, thank you.
That's what I'm
That's why
here
we met.
for.
Exactly,
Moral
thank you.
support.
Thank God I have you.
Okay. In 1970, George C. Scott won the Academy Award for Best Actor and famously refused to accept it, claiming that competition between actors was unfair. And then he called the Academy Awards something. What did he call it? Do you have any idea?
I should know this because I'm a big Oscar trivia buff too. He didn't. Oh, I don't think he would have said it was a circus. Circus? I don't think he
Like
would
a
have said it was
clown show.
a clown show. Yeah, let's go with clown show.
No, I called it a meat
A
parade.
meat parade. Nice.
Wow.
Very nice. That sounds like a 1970
It does.
cliche. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Beautiful.
Yes.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. Well, you can't have everything so easy. Come on. Not everything can be mashed. All right, let us spin the wheel again for your fourth question. Okay, in the 1975 film Jaws,
Wow. Okay.
who wrote the speech about the USS Indianapolis that Quint delivers?
Do you know this, Cass?
Dad, wait,
You did
no.
see the play.
I did see the play.
I'll let you tackle it first, 'cause
No,
I
now I'm like scared.
Oh, okay.
Is it? It's not like. Is it one of the actors? No. It's like a
Who's the
play.
actor who says it?
No, I'm not asking who says the speech. I'm saying who
Yeah.
wrote it.
Oh,
Yeah.
I thought I thought it was written partly by Robert Shaw and also John
Yeah,
Milius.
I was thinking Robert
And
Shaw.
that is the answer, John Milius.
Yeah.
Very good.
I was thinking Robert Shaw actually, but I didn't want to sound like silly.
Well, if you see the play, it looks like he wrote the whole thing. So, yeah.
But is he just taking credit?
I mean, he could. I don't see any reason not to. I don't know if Milius would give him the credit, but you know.
All right, so now let us spin the wheel for one final time to
All
see what
right.
your next question will be. In the 1977 film A Bridge Too Far, what military action is taking place?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. This is at the top of my list of movies to rewatch that I haven't seen in a long time.
Okay, but that doesn't help you now.
No, it does not. And I just read about this a couple months ago too, because I was just on a whim was
It
reading
also
about it.
famously appears in the miniseries Band of Brothers.
Yes. Cassie, come on, you're the history
Well,
major.
like, so the question is, what type of military action is taking place?
What is the name of the military action
Yeah,
that's
and
taking place?
the name, it's like Operation something.
Correct. And this is.
It's
It's
World War
during World War II.
Yeah,
Man.
oh.
Oh, that's hard.
I'm seeing scenes from the movie in my head, and I
Name of the operation.
cannot think. Oh, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah,
I'm going to hear it. I'm going to be mad, but yeah.
that's
Well,
hard.
okay,
I'm going to give you a hint that's connected but not connected. Whenever I think of this, the name of this operation, I think of the game of Monopoly.
Is operation
Wow.
not
Marvin
Blue Wall?
Gardens? Wow.
Very good. You're okay. Now go
Oh,
with that. Go with that.
nice. Good
Dad.
job.
No, but go with.
Oh.
Okay, it's not called Marvin Gardens. What's it called?
Oh, darn.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
What sounds like Marvin? That was a word that sounds like Marvin.
High Garden, High not High Garden, High Garden,
Mar.
Mar,
Monopoly has to do with the
No, Monopoly does not have to do with this. This is just
No,
my
I'm just
crazy
thinking
brain.
like.
I was going to say Operation Atlantic City. It's
Market? Very
Market
good.
Garden.
Market
Yes.
Garden is excellent.
Nice. Good job. All
Very
right.
good. Figure it sounds like Marvin, free market,
Yes, very
capitalism,
good.
monopoly. You know?
Wow. That's a history major talking right there.
There you go. Excellent. All
Oh.
right. Yeah, nicely done. You did very well there, guys.
Not
All right.
Teamwork.
That's right. All right. Now let's move on to the daily game of Name That Remake.
All
So
right.
let's spin the wheel again, and there probably will not be the famous Polish actor Joseph Turow here. Sorry.
No, maybe there'll be a Cassie Tora.
Oh,
Maybe.
Me.
Okay, so the original movie came out in 1969, and the remake came out in 2003.
Okay.
Okay, and it's about a group of men that get together to steal a gold shipment by creating a traffic jam.
I think I know it. The Italian Job?
Excellent. Nicely done.
Good job, Dad.
Yep.
Came out the
And then
year I was born, the remake, so of course you
yes. I was going to
remember.
say, I don't think you were born in 69.
No.
I think the famous Polish actor Joseph Turow would have been a little too young at that point.
Yeah, I would have. I turned 3 in December that year, so yes,
Hey.
probably.
Well, you're ahead of your time.
Yeah, I mean, as always, you know, come on.
True, true, very good. All right, excellent, nicely done, guys.
Very
So,
cool.
would you like to once again tell people where they can find you guys?
All right, Cass, you go first.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just kind of on socials, and you know, one day I will get a piece. Well, we talked about Marvel University. I have some stuff there. And maybe one day I'll have a piece on my dad's blog that he's about to tell you guys about right now.
Yes, my blog, Von Luger's Butter, which you can find at torahfish.wordpress.com. You can find me on Letterboxd. You can find me on all the socials. And we can have conversations about how I'm a great Polish actor.
Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can send me an email at moviearoundminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, do both of you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either. Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent. So until tomorrow, achoo.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.